Welcome to the RaidersBlog.com podcast. This is the week two podcast coming at you on September 21st. No, I'm way off. It was just a brutal Sunday. It's September 19th, Monday, September 19th. And we're coming at you after week two here. Raiders just, they fell apart. I mean, it was just a brutal game to watch. The result was brutal. I mean, everything about this game was terrible. But we'll get into that here in a moment on the review podcast and kind of go through all the different layers, kind of what I'm seeing from the Raider Nation and kind of the way that I perceive what is going on with the Raiders right now. Obviously, now sit at 1-1 after a somewhat difficult week one win, but got the win, exciting win and all that. But we'll kind of go through it because there's some stuff from week one that I want to kind of bring up too, because it does pertain to week two, because we were starting to see some patterns that are emerging from the Raiders, and that's going to be a big problem if that continues for this team. So let's dig right into it. And obviously the big story is a defense that everybody thought was going to be much improved. I mean, no one expected it to be necessarily a great defense. Maybe the hype got a little bit too much and people did, but it was really bad last year, and they added some pieces, and everybody thought, I think, that this was going to be a good defense, a solid defense. And what we've seen so far is a historically bad defense. Giving up over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and we're really talking from a 2-week start perspective, not really any worse. I mean, there's a few maybe that have gave up more yards. I can't remember the exact numbers, but basically, let's just suffice it to say, all you have to say is over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. The Raiders defense is not getting the job done. Not at all. Not at all. And that's a big problem. A major problem for the Raiders, because as good as the offense can be, and honestly has been, despite some things that you wish could be a little bit better, but despite that, the Raiders are on a kind of a franchise historic start offensively. And they've had to be. But they're gaining a lot of yards. They're not turning the ball over. Derek Carr has been efficient, if not explosive. And I'd like to see them take a little more risk early in the game. But we'll get into the offense, because really what we need to talk about is this defense. This defense has problems. And when you give up as much as many yards as the Raiders have, and as many touchdowns as the Raiders have, you can't just point to any one thing. I mean, it's a multitude of different problems. You've got a talent problem, you've got a discipline problem, you've got a scheme, potentially a bit of a scheme problem. So you've got a lot of different things that you can point to as to why the Raiders are not getting the job done. And as it typically is with any defense, and I know when you see. We'll go through what's going on in the back end, because I think that's where the bigger problem lies. But the Raiders knew going in. They knew going in that, the secondary was still, a bit of a work in progress. You have a rookie safety who has not played yet. They like their corners, but, you've got some safeties that just really aren't getting the job done right now. And then they kind of knew their linebackers would be problematic. But Ken Norton Jr. being a former linebacker, Del Rio being a former linebacker, Del Rio, who has had a lot of good luck finding and turning, lesser-known players like Ben Heaney into good linebackers in the past. So you kind of thought, okay, they knew what they were doing. As far as the linebackers go, like they thought, okay, we can deal with the weakness. We can hide the weakness of the linebackers, because that's part of the way that our scheme works. And to do that, the defensive line has to be good. The defensive line has to be really, really good. You know, it can't just be at the Raiders' defensive line. Needs to be really good. So they went and got Bruce Irvin. And if you look at the money that they went out and spent in free agency, Bruce Irvin, he was the big guy. Yeah, Sean Smith too, but Bruce Irvin was the guy that they brought in, and they thought, man, this is the guy. Pair him with Mac. You still got Jelly and Dan and some other young guys. Obviously, spent a second-round pick on Ward. They invested a lot in the defensive line, and they did that because it needed to be the strength of the team. And what have we seen so far? The defensive line is not getting pressure. The defensive line is not stopping the run very well. The defensive line is not getting the job done. And I know you see all the blown coverages and all that, and that's what you go to. Like, oh, that's where the big problem is. But let me tell you, the defensive line is not getting the job done. They really aren't. And where's Mac? I mean, I love Mac, believe me. You see him take over games at times. Where's he been? Guess what? Teams know that Mac is pretty dominant, and they've been doing a lot to disrupt him. And he's still good. He's still dominating the man in front of him, but he's not doing it and making an impact. Unless not enough of one, and he can't do it all by himself. Just as we saw last year, he cannot do it all by himself every game. There's a few games he takes over, does it by himself, but he can't do that every game. Bruce Irvin has been pretty good too, but he hasn't been good enough. The other guys in the middle, they haven't been good enough. You know, and then we're just talking about pressure, but they're not even stopping the run. I mean, if you're not going to be able to rush the passer, you got to stop the run. You've got to. And I think if you can stop the run, you give Mac and Irvin a chance to pin their ears back a little bit, but the Raiders haven't played with any kind of lead, so those guys, they have to respect the run, and they're not getting to the quarterback. And so the defensive line is a big problem. And you know, you look at all the other problems in the back end, which we'll talk about, but dang, the defensive line, that was supposed to be the strength of the team, they're not the strength of the team right now. Good still, yeah, they've been good. Irvin and Mac have been good generally, but they can't do what they need to do. And part of that's playing from behind, and they got to start faster. But part of that is stopping the run, and they haven't been doing that. So really, everything is connected. And that's why football is a great sport, because it really is a team game. I mean, you have, aside from a quarterback, everybody else on the team has to rely on everybody else to get the job done. A quarterback is a special breed of player in the NFL because of what they can do for you, both off on the offensive end and defensive end, all the different things that they do. But everybody else is connected, and the defensive line is directly responsible for kind of what's kind of going on with the defense. And that's why Mac took it so personally that the defense isn't getting the job done. Now, obviously, that's not to say the defensive line is the biggest problem. They have the personnel. If they were to be able to start a little faster and the offense would score a little earlier and give them a lead, maybe, you know, your two pass rushers would be able to get to the quarterback a little bit more, but that hasn't happened. So let's talk about disaster. The Raiders linebackers cannot cover. They can't cover anyone. They're not stopping the run very well either. They're blowing by people and they're not making tackles or missing tackles. Malcolm Smith and Ben Heaney have been a problem. Ben Heaney lost his green dot. He lost the green dot, which means he's no longer an every down player to Malcolm Smith. But I'm not sure Malcolm Smith deserves to be on the field every down either. And those are the two best linebackers. I mean, that's the position the Raiders are in. And that's a big problem because you have to, the only way you can really do anything about those guys is protect them with other players. And as we've seen, teams have decided, well, the one area you really can't protect a linebacker is in coverage against the tight end, and the Raiders can't cover the tight end to save their life. Ben Heaney, if he can't cover, there's no reason for him to be on the field because he's already a liability in run run defense. We know that. We know that given his size, he's going to be a little bit of a he's going to be a little bit of a problem in run defense. The defensive line has to make up for that and give him a clean shot at a running back, and you know, they've got to do their jobs really well. And then even then, Heaney's not making the play. So if he can't be good at run defense and he can't cover, he has no business being on the field. I like Ben Heaney. You guys know, if you follow me on Twitter long enough, you know I really like Ben Heaney. I liked him as a player coming out. I like some of the work he did last year. I really believe that he could probably get it done this year. Oh, but man, he is not getting it done. He's not getting it done even a little bit. And Malcolm Smith hasn't been a whole lot better. You know? He hasn't been a whole lot better. And that's the Raiders linebackers. Now, let's talk, you know, personnel-wise, the Raiders decided to beef up the secondary. You bring in safeties, you bring in more defensive linemen, especially run-stopping ones. What are you trying to do? You're trying to hide linebackers. I mean, to some extent, that's what you're trying to do. There wasn't really a whole lot of help to be had at linebacker last year. There will be a lot next year. So don't think that the Raiders' plan, if you will, wasn't by design a little bit. They thought they could hide their linebackers this year. You know, they had some young guys. They had guys that knew the scheme. That kind of was what they thought. They did bring in a lot of linebackers. Practice squad guys, they brought in a lot of linebackers. But obviously the two top guys are still the guys there that are going to be the guys. And there's not, man, I mean, fundamental things are not doing very well. But also, they're being physically outmatched by everyone. Tight ends, doesn't matter who they are. Really, it's just the linebackers have been terrible. And to think that doesn't have impact on, you know, the defensive line, you know, they have to be perfect. And yet the safeties are always having to come up and help. And if the safeties have to come up and help a linebacker in coverage, they're not out there for the corners. And the Raiders knew this going in. I mean, with Sean Smith and David Amerson, these are corners that need help over the top. They're not exactly the fastest guys. They want to play physical at the line. In that short area, that's where those guys are the best. But outside of that, no, not good at all. They can't cover deep. They need help. They need help over the top. We knew that. Everybody knows that. That's why you've seen teams go over the top on the Raiders. And with success, go over the top on the Raiders. Because those corners can't cover that ground. Now, Amerson's been pretty darn solid, and now he's got a concussion, so we'll kind of see what happens there. And a great interception, by the way, on Sunday. I mean, that was a great undercutting route. Matt Ryan obviously floated the ball to the right, but still great job to cut in front and make that play. But we knew that this was a problem. The Raiders aren't surprised at the struggles they're having. There's just a lot more struggle there than they anticipated. Now, let me say this. It's early yet. You have to give the coaches a chance to kind of rectify the situation, rectify the, you know, what's going on. Let's get the linebackers, put them in position and let them make plays and find different ways to do things. And we'll go over some of the different things that the Raiders can do kind of to switch things up. And when it's not working, you got to switch things up. So we'll talk about that here in a moment. But first, I want to talk about the secondary a little bit. Now, we've talked about what they can't do, and we know what Sean Smith has not done well. He hasn't been playing particularly fundamental football, and that's cost him. And you can tell he's thinking out there about getting burned deep, because a confident corner that knows this, trusts his safeties behind him, is going to be able to play a little bit more physical, the way that the Raiders want to be able to play, with the confidence that they've got that help should they need it. And Sean Smith's not playing like that. He's playing a little bit more passive because he feels like he's got to turn and run. And you can see that. And when that happens, he's not playing good fundamental physical football, the kind that he plays the best. And, you know, what ends up happening is what the Raiders have seen is easy completions, and you know, it's just not a good look. But the biggest thing you see in the secondary, aside from all that, and this goes back to my previous point about, you know, not Sean Smith not trusting what's behind him, and the corners not really trusting what's behind them. What you see is an utter lack of chemistry and communication between the safeties and the cornerbacks. I mean, these guys are not are not getting the job done whatsoever as far as the communication aspect. You've got guys on the offensive end, I'm sorry, you guys on the back end not communicating with each other. You've got blown coverages, corner not knowing when to switch with another corner, as we saw with the game, basically the game sealing easy pass to Mohamed Sanu on Sunday. DJ Hayden, Raider Nation's whipping boy, didn't switch on the cross and was nowhere near Sanu. The one thing, if it's a contested catch, I mean, yeah, you get beat. Yeah, and you get out-schemed. Those things sometimes happen. But what is not an excusable mistake is lack of communication. And that's what's happened to the Raiders. They've gotten so bad in the back end, they're not communicating. DJ Hayden didn't switch, didn't get the communication. Maybe it was just he messed up, but no, I don't, you know, guys don't miss that badly if there's communication. You got a bunch of formation out there. Both corners need to say, okay, you know, this guy, if they switch, we're switching. They should know the coverage and know their rules, but there needs to be a communication out there. And if they're not there, then you've got a problem. And yesterday, and this is, we saw this a lot yesterday, and I think, honestly, he was one of the worst players on the field for the Raiders yesterday was Reggie Nelson. That's a guy who's played pretty good football in the past, then hung out there on the free agent wire for a long time before the Raiders were able to pick him up. I gotta think there's maybe a reason for that. Del Rio knew him. He's an older guy. You know, there's got to be a reason for some of this, some of what you see in the NFL. Usually, it's not a mistake. Sometimes it is, but there's not many teams that make those kind of mistakes. And that is, you know, signing. A lot of teams make mistakes signing guys that they shouldn't. But when a guy hangs out there, doesn't get signed. Free agency kind of hangs out there, then signs late and he's a veteran. You don't see that being a mistake on all the teams that didn't sign him very often. Sometimes it works out. And in this case, you kind of thought it would work out given the history and the Raiders need and all that. But boy, was he bad on Sunday. He was routinely out of position. Fighting on everything, wasn't where he should be, didn't have the help he should have had. And the corner, you could tell Sean Smith especially, he's a little frustrated about it. And yeah, Sean Smith's got his own thing, but it's a group effort, and Reggie Nelson was really bad. Missed tackles, blown coverages, was really nowhere near where he should be on. I can think of at least four plays off the top of my head. Four big plays, which means there's likely more. If I could go back and review the tape, there's likely more. Huge problem. Oh, man, I don't know what's going on with my voice, but gives you guys a good laugh. I'm all for it. But a huge problem. And that's got to be correct. Mental errors, knowing where you should be on the field. Yeah, coaches can help there, but really, it's just a player making mistakes. It's a player making mistakes, a veteran player making mistakes. And that's why I said yesterday on Twitter, I said, at this point in time, you've got to get Carl Joseph on the field. You've got to get him on the field. I saw this guy playing. This guy can play. He'll make mistakes, sure. He's a safety. He's going to make mistakes. But you got to get him on the field now. There is no reason that he should not be on the field. Him and Nate Allen should get on the field. These are guys that should be playing, because I have seen too many mistakes from Keith McGill and Reggie Nelson through 2 weeks. Far too many. Far too many. That needs to change. That needs to change personnel-wise. And that's one of the first things I'd start changing. After 2 weeks of being as bad as you, have to make some changes. So, one, you got to change some personnel at safety. Let Carl Joseph learn on the fly, because at this point, the other safeties aren't getting the job done. Yeah, if he's real bad, or you can mix in the other safeties. And safety is a position where you don't have to have starters, defined starters all the time. You can mix guys in and out. Raiders played three safeties quite a bit last year at times. You could see some of that more if you want to mix some of those guys in and put them in places where they won't be as exposed. Get Reggie Nelson in there where he's not covering the deep third like he is right now. Isn't over-the-top help. And maybe he'd be a lot better. Maybe he'd be able to execute his assignment a lot better. You know, Carl Joseph, get him in there. Get him playing time. So that's kind of my first thing. Get him in. Those guys really couldn't be much worse than what the Raiders have. I can't imagine them looking so bad in practice that... they're not better than those two guys, or haven't shown that they have been about equal to those guys in terms of getting playing time. That's number one. Number two, Corey James should get some more time at linebacker for Ben Heaney. Heaney hasn't gotten the job done. You're going to have to see if Corey James can get the job done. Maybe James can't get it done either, but it's worth looking at and seeing whether these guys, these different players, different personnels, can get the job done together. And you got to make that decision early in the week, because you got to give these guys a chance to practice together. Obviously, communication. We knew it wasn't going to gel necessarily all together at once. I mean, you knew there was going to be some growing pains for a defense with so many new pieces, but didn't expect it to be this bad. And so you have to give them the whole week to kind of gel with new personnel in the number one grouping. And we'll kind of see. I mean, you don't get a job done. NFL players know. You don't get the job done, you're going to lose your job. And that's what the Raiders should do, is they should change some personnel out. I'd like to see a little bit of kind of switching up on the defensive line, too. We've kind of gone with a rotation, Jelly and Dan and all that. I might put some of those guys in there together to try to beef that line up a little bit, try to stop the run early in the game, and see if you can't be a little bit more successful in doing so, and then hopefully get a lead and let your pass rushers go from there. But overall, you know, those guys just need to play better. Switching to the offensive sides, we spent a lot of time on the defense, and that's kind of what I think the defense would do. We'll switch to the offensive side just a sec, but I wanted to touch on one other thing. Del Rio pretty much admitted that on the last drive he took over the play calling duties from Ken Norton Jr. A lot of people think he should just take over, you know, going forward. I have mixed opinions on this approach, and here's why. Del Rio is kind of a proven coordinator. Sure. He's a proven coordinator. But he's the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And he needs to focus on being the head coach. And if he drifts too far to the defensive side, the offensive side, he can't really oversee the offense as well. I mean, he just can't. It's just, there's only so much he could do during the game. And his focus is going to be drifted. And I think the offense, yeah, they scored a lot of points, getting a lot of yards, haven't turned the ball over. I mean, you look at the pure stats, and you're like, oh, this offense has been good. and it has been good, when Musgrave the ropes off of the offense and says, okay, Derek Carr, you're the man. Go get us some points. And when he does that, you know, the Raiders' offense is good. But up until that point, it's been kind of handcuffed by a philosophy and offensive coach, maybe part of it is Del Rio too, that just is hell-bent on forcing the issue in the run game. And we've seen already, the run game really opens up later in the game. And if the coaching staff isn't careful, they'll think, well, that's because we ran early in the game. It's not. It's because Derek Carr's opening things up. He's forcing the softer coverages, and Derek Carr's opening things up. And that's why the run game has been more effective. And, you know, the big guys are doing better work late in games when that defensive line is tired from pass rushing. That's the NFL today. It's not, you don't wear them down with the run anymore. No, you play the run off the pass now, and that's the NFL game. And the Raiders would be wise to finally realize that and turn Derek Carr loose earlier in games. Get a lead, let the defense play with a lead for once, and see how that changes. And I think that would do wonders for the Raiders if they could get a lead, you know, and let those defenders pin their ears back and think it's a different defense. So that's a big part of what you need to do. And I don't really like the idea of pulling Del Rio away from the offense. As a head coach, I think he's got enough on his plate to, you know, force him to call the game. Now, I know a lot of coaches call one side of the ball or the other, but I just don't love that idea. And when you go back and, you know, when I was reviewing a lot of this, I don't really think Norton's calls were the problem. I mean, yeah, maybe the defenders aren't buying into the calls or something like that, but that's the defender's problems. I didn't see instances where the Raiders were in some horrible coverage for the situation or anything like that. You know, I didn't see that. Now, they're not blitzing a whole lot, but that's never really been a Del Rio staple, or you know, that's really not the defensive philosophy. So, given that, it makes sense. I don't think Ken Norton is calling a horrible game. I don't think offensive coordinators are, you know, really taking advantage of Ken Norton Jr. They're taking advantage of the personnel. You know, there's only so many coverages you can play, and there's rules for switching it up and all that. There's only so many coverages you can play, and unless you're in some horrible coverage for the situation, it's on the players. It's philosophical football. And you get in the right coverage, and you know, you might dial up things here and there or switch things up, you know, try to keep the offense on their toes. But the Raiders' problem right now is they're not playing very well. And so I have mixed feelings about pulling Del Rio away from that. I know when it's not working, you know, anybody who's in a position of power, when it's not working and you know a lot about it, you have a propensity to want to take control of it and try to do more. Del Rio's already heavily involved in the defense. He may decide that he wants more control. But it also, keep in mind, and from Del Rio's perspective, if he takes over this defense and it doesn't improve, now no one's got Ken Norton Jr. as a shield. It'll be on Jack Del Rio. And I know Jack Del Rio says, you know, put it on me and all that, but it's the players. And you have Ken Norton Jr. as kind of the scapegoat if things don't improve. And you can always take over later. I think it's just a little bit premature to do that. I don't know if that sends the right message and to your team to do that. And so I would prefer that he continue to let Ken Norton Jr. call the plays. And unless the players do not have confidence in Ken Norton, and I don't think there's any reason to take those duties from him. And based on what the defender said after the game, they said, Jack and Ken, they're doing all they can. We're just not doing it. They're not saying it because, really, if they don't have confidence in it, it's in the whole thing. It's Jack and Ken together. So let Ken Newton Jr. continue to call plays. So I'm a little bit mixed feelings on it. Maybe it improves things, maybe it doesn't. Just from sometimes making a change is really what improves things, just from a mental standpoint. Because mentally, the Raiders are making way too many defensive mistakes. And if that can be reduced with a change in who's calling it, so be it. But I'm not a huge fan of it. But switching to the offensive side a little bit, let's talk about some of the what's working, what's not. And what's not working is a running game early in the games. And what's not working is screen pass after bubble screen, after swing pass, after... those are not working early in games. Derek Carr's being conservative, but is it? It's not really Derek Carr. These are called. They're called plays. A lot of them. Check it down here. Be more efficient. And that was Derek Carr's focus on that. Be more efficient, and he has been too efficient. Too efficient. He needs chunk, even more chunk plays. This is explosive offense when they want to be. But far too often they get stuck. And I know philosophically the Raiders believed that if they could run the ball better, that'd be better for everybody, and that's true. But run the ball when you want to run the ball. Don't run the ball to establish something. That's not the way that it works now. Raiders are falling into the trap. Teams know they want to run. So what are they doing? They're loading the box. Now, you can run against a loaded box. That isn't the issue. But teams know the Raiders want to run. And when they're running is fairly predictable. And their passes are fairly predictable. You're going to go to the flat. They're not going over the top. They're not taking chances down the field early in games. They're not doing it. Not at all. Not even a couple times. It takes to the second half for finally things to change, and now through two games, things have changed, and offense looks totally different once that happens. So, you got to open things up earlier. Musgrave has to realize, okay, we can run. We'll run when we want to run. But we're going to open things up. We're going to go get some bigger chunks early in the game. We're going to throw down the middle. We're going to take some chances. We're going to put the game on the back of Derek Carr, who has proven through two games, you could put the game on his back. He's made a couple bad throws, but he'll throw a couple interceptions this year. It's going to happen. But give him that chance. Give him the chance to go make some plays. Open him up a little bit. Give the offense a chance to gain a lead and give the defense some opportunity to pin their ears back a little bit and do that, because they haven't been able to do that. Teams have been passing that will on them, but they haven't really been able to pin their ears back because they try to do that and then they get gashed for a big run. So they're scrambling. Defense is scrambling. Offense is going to have to help them out. The offense is clearly the strength of the team right now. But you wouldn't know it because they've been so busy clawing back from a deficit and, coming back and doing all that. And then, there's a reason Del Rio's rolling he's rolling the dice on fourth down, 2-point conversions. There's a reason he's doing that. Offense is a strength. Put it in their hands. Don't turn it back over to the defense. Doesn't have confidence in the defense is going to get the job done right now. He knows it. He knows it going in. Otherwise, those things wouldn't be happening. And I believe he's trying to get it fixed, but hasn't been fixed through two games, and that's a problem. And that's a problem. If the coaching staff's got to get that fixed, the players have to get that fixed. They have to believe they can get that fixed. They believed until a few weeks ago that this was going to be a good defense. They got to turn that around mentally. They got to turn that around, and that's a big part of what they need to do. So that's huge, obviously, to be able to get this offense going in a direction that is helpful for everybody, that, that floats all boats. Because a good offense, a really good offense, yeah, helps a defense. It really does help a defense. And the Raiders need help anywhere they can get it on the defensive side. And a part of that's the offense. The Raiders have been able to run the ball. Tavius has been great. DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, they've all been good. Look, it's a three-headed rushing attack. I love it. I love running the ball. I really do. But you can't get into this type of offense early on where all you're doing is running the ball up the middle and dumping it off into the flat on passing downs. That's as basically just another run. Just another way to run the ball. So you can't do that. Go get some chunks. Take some risks early in the game. Go get some chunks and let Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Seth Roberts, Andre Holmes. You've got some guys that can go up and get the ball. Cooper can go up and get the ball. Crabtree can go up and get the ball. Andre Holmes can go up the ball. Even Seth Roberts can go up and get the ball. You've got talent there. Go take some, just take a shot. Create an opportunity for one-on-one coverage and take a shot and get some big chunks. Good things have happened when the Raiders have done that. They just haven't done it early enough in games. Do it. It's not that big of a deal. It's easy change. The Raiders have to make that change now. Pick up a chunk. You know? Pick up a chunk here and there. See how those safeties loosen up. Then run the ball. See how those linebackers spread out a little bit, a step. Then run the ball. You'll be even more effective running the ball. And then once that run starts hitting a couple times, go hit him again. Hit him over the top again. Play action. Do it. It's easy. The Raiders have the pieces. Musgrave, Del Rio, whatever you want to call it, just have been a little bit too stubborn. And the first halves have been a disaster offensively. Second halves have been the exact opposite of that. So they realize it, middle of the game, and then they made the same mistake again. That can't happen. That's coaching, pure and simple. That can't happen. So you look at the horrible defense and good offense and you think, oh, Ken Norton's the one. Obviously, people have not said that necessarily. I'm not saying that. But really, it's kind of the opposite. I mean, I'm not saying that one is doing a great job and the other one is doing a bad job. I think they're both, from a coaching perspective, they both need to improve. Del Rio needs to improve. He's the one who sets that philosophy and goes over the game plans with everybody and decides, okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, that sounds good. Let's do that. Let's approach it this way. He's the one who says that. He's the one who's governing that. So from a coaching perspective, the Raiders have to improve. You know, this is an offense that can get the job done. Give them that opportunity earlier in games and see what happens. So I think that's fairly straightforward. We've seen that they can do it. Go do it earlier in games. Run the ball. Continue to run the ball. I don't want them to get one-dimensional with the pass or trying to go up top a zillion times. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I think that would be bad. Continue to run the ball. They've been running the ball really effectively. Continue to do that. But you've got to get some bigger chunks earlier. You've got to be less one-dimensional early in games. You know, this reminds me, you know, when I talk about taking big chunks up top, reminds me of the preseason. I mean, all the number one offense seemed to do was try to get big chunks, throw bombs. That's all Carr was doing. And when Carr was asked, basically said, oh yeah, we work on stuff in the preseason we wouldn't necessarily do during the game. You think there was a reason that they were practicing those? I think that there was something to that. And there's something to the fact that the Raiders have been reluctant to call those early in games. they obviously need some work on those, or needed some work on those, or still do. And that is clearly what the coaches thought. Dialed those up. And they didn't weren't particularly effective on those in the preseason. So they haven't dialed them up early in games. And I think you have the talent. Carr has proven it. The receivers have proven enough that they can go get it. You're going to have to give them those opportunities. Now, I don't, like I said, stay mixed. Run the ball by all means. Run the ball if you're being effective at it. But don't pound your head against a wall. If run is not working, pass a little bit. See if you can free some things up. Hey, throw. God forbid you throw three passes in a row. You know, the Raiders had one point in the first half. I believe it was the first half on Sunday. Raiders had two pass completions in a row. Two nice passes. It was working. Atlanta's defense couldn't cover. It was working. And then Musgrave dialed up and run right into a brick wall. Right into a wall. Stonewalled at the line of scrimmage. Do you think the defense had an inkling that Musgrave wouldn't call three passes in a row? They knew. I don't think in the first half of a game that Musgrave has called three passes in a row all season so far. Those are trends. Defenders get a fact sheet from their advanced scouts, from the coaching staff, ahead of every game. If one of them is Musgrave never passes three times in a row, alert, run. It doesn't mean that they won't pass, but the defenders are going to be, those linebackers, everybody's going to be looking inside to look for that run. Go opposite what your impulse is. Go opposite and try to pick up a big chunk. Sitting at home on their couch and in the stands, everybody can see the Raiders' tendency in the first half right now. Everyone. Gotta be changed. But offense, generally speaking, has kept the Raiders in games. When they need to go get a touchdown, they've been able to go get a touchdown. So it really, you can't really fault the offense too much for keeping the Raiders in games. So let them continue to do their thing, but just, you got to switch up the order of things a little bit. You know, you got to switch that up. Let those guys play a little bit differently. So that's about it for the week 2 wrap up podcast. It was brutal. We've gone through kind of the things that the Raiders can change. The Raiders must change, really. One thing I didn't talk about, and I did say on Twitter, I'd like to see a little more TJ Carey. Emerson could be out, so you will see more of him if he's out. But even if he's not, I'd like to see more TJ Carey in the nickel. I always thought TJ played solid defense. I mean, I never thought he made the mental mistakes that Hayden continues to make. Hayden's got the physical talent, but mentally, not there. And maybe that's part of the Raiders coaching staff problem right now, is they see Keith McGill and his size, and they see Reggie Nelson, and they see all these players, and they say, okay, well, physically he can do it. Let's put him in there. But there may be a kind of overlying on that a bit, which is surprising considering they're former players, not realizing, hey, this guy's a good football player. TJ Carey needs to get in there more. And I'd like to see him in there a little bit more at cornerback in nickel situations. He can play inside, he can play outside. I'd get him in there more and just see what he can do, especially against more fleet of foot wide receivers. See if he can get in there and cover somebody, because the Raiders haven't covered anybody. So that's it for the week 2 podcast. I'm going to try to do these more regularly, but that kind of gives you my mental state. Brutal loss week 2, and a loss that week 1 now feels even more pivotal, because That was the Raiders' lone home game in the first four games. Now they go on the road twice, East Coast. Not particularly necessarily great teams to play, necessarily. You know, every NFL game is going to be tough, but every NFL game is especially going to be tough on the road. So, you know, this is a situation where Raiders are 1-1, and now, oof. Man, a distinct possibility they could be 1-3. Oof. Is that really where they wanted to be? After 4, 2-2 was where you wanted to be, at least, if not 3-1. And you would have assumed that one of the wins, if you were to get to 3-1, or even 2-2, that one of those games would be the home opener, the one home game. And now that's not looking like a possibility. So that's a big problem for the Raiders, and they have a lot of big problems. I've said it over and over today. So now you go on the road, and the Raiders got to find a fix. And they got to, today they'll look at the film. You don't get Mondays off when you lose. Today they'll look at the film. All together, they're going to look at that film, and it's not going to be pretty. But they're going to know how to fix it. They're going to know how to fix it. And then they'll have to get and then tomorrow, they're going to have to move past it. Start getting ready for... Start getting ready for the Titans. That's what they're going to have to do. And these are professional football players. I still think this defense should be much improved over last year, but they've got a lot of work to do. I'm not ready to say that X, Y player is a bust signing or anything like that. They've got to get better. And I think they can, but they got to make some changes, and that's going to have to start this week. And then really, everybody is to blame. For when it's that bad, everybody's to blame. I've always said that. Yeah, one or two individuals might not be particularly to blame, but just about everybody's to blame. Mac's to blame. He's not doing it. Irvin, probably strengths of the defense so far, but they're not getting the job done. They've been good. If you look at the film, they've been good, but not great. And they need to be better if the defense is going to be good. So I'll leave that with you guys for this week. You can kind of review this as the week goes on. Hopefully Amerson concussion, hopefully he'll be able to play, because the Raiders would be in bad, bad shape if he cannot get on the football field. Then they'll be in bad shape in the secondary, because then you're even thinner than you are today. And, you know, guys that may have not been getting the job done, Hayden, get on the field. So, big week for the Raiders now. They got to show that they can rebound. They've got to show that they can rebound now. They got a big win last week. It wasn't pretty. This week, got a big loss. Wasn't pretty. Now they got two ugly tapes to review. So one of them happened to come with a W, but it wasn't pretty. On the defensive side of the ball, they got to fix that. So, we'll talk more about what's kind of happening with this team as the weeks, months go along, but I'll stop it there and let you guys kind of digest the week 2 fallout, because man, it was brutal. And we'll come back to you, and you can join us here on RaidersBlog.com for periodic podcasts and whatever other content I am able to scrounge up for you guys. I do care about you guys, so check it out when you have a chance. Thanks.